Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Gee, wouldn't it be something if we had a hero who could crawl on walls like a fly? So I thought, Fly Man? Insect Man?
No.
And then I got to Spider Man.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and joining me, as always...
Ben Vanel here, and I am just wondering why we didn't save that energy drink review for the podcast.
It's a common video game podcast thing. Here it is. Yeah, V's fine. Don't drink them, though. My name's Adam. They're bad for you.
Green apple lemonade.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
In a beautiful teal-coloured can.
I love the colour of the can, to be honest. Yeah,
my eye was instantly drawn to it.
They've done their job then.
It's the focal point of this room.
Yeah.
We can't take the can out of here. We need to leave the rubbish behind when
we're
done.
It is a good colour, honestly. It fits in quite well. Yeah.
You've got a lovely... if you make anything the colour of like a dangerous bug, you're going to move product.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there's any green dangerous bugs. I guess we could a praying mantis kill a human if you were like tied down and couldn't move? Would it be hypothetically able to just get you? And you can't die of thirst or whatever. It's just the praying mantis.
Well, because V used to have those ads where it was like a bunch of little bugs like in a can of V.
That's right.
And they all just go psycho.
Yeah.
What about if the ad was praying mantis drinks a V and then...
bites a human's
and then you see
off.
It fucking a human to death.
Yeah, yeah. It grows big and then it chomps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess I'm into Red Bull now.
Yeah. Red Bull. But it'd be the same thing, but a cute little cartoon instead of a disturbing CGI render.
Mm. Yeah. I don't like energy drinks, but I do like the equivalent of medication that they provide me with.
Mm-hmm.
Caffeine.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'll tell you why.
Me too.
Because, you've got coffee like an adult, but I need my bloody energy this week.
Yeah.
Because I've worn myself out playing too many video games.
Yep.
Yeah.
I finished off the big boys both this week.
You 100%ed them.
Mm.
Nothing but the best.
I'm imagining a beautiful Adam-shaped indent in the couch in your house.
Not on a couch.
Ooh.
Office
sex swing?
Chair.
Office chair.
Okay. All right.
Which is what I call my sex swing.
Mm. You should get one of those pods. You know, we've seen that people occasionally post them of the gamer pod where you have like food and things and like everything sort of surrounded
the
gamer chair.
No, the only way I can
catheter
feel good about
from the penis, colostomy bag.
Emphasize to myself the fact that I'm doing it for work.
Right.
Then I feel okay about
I'm
it.
I'm in an office chair.
Yeah.
Because I'm in my office.
Hold my calls for three full days. I'm playing Mario.
Well, it was the weekend as well. So.
Exactly. Look,
the freaking weekend.
I was pumping R. Kelly. I haven't read the news for a few years.
Mm.
And listening to Wahoo.
Yeah.
Done pretty well.
I like the new guy.
He's all right.
He's got a new... Mario sounds like he's got a renewed zest for life.
Right.
He sounded pretty depressed there for a little while.
Well, he's probably about, 40 years younger?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen a photo of the guy yet. His name was like Kevin Afghani, I think.
Yep.
And he pulls it off.
Yeah.
Totally
he
well.
He does a good job.
Mario sounded like Mario the whole time.
It would have been cool if they had have had Charles Martinet for the first bit of the game and then you get the first wonder seed you get. It's like he's looking around. He's like, the level's exactly the same. But what's happened to my voice? That's the only effect. And
okay.
It's permanent.
Yeah. That's what they did with Rick and Morty, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I'm sure.
he says wowie zowie all the time now, which is like... a weird new thing to say.
I'm not a fan of Wowie Zowie.
Do you know what it feels like, though?
I like Wowie Zowie just because it's just funny that he's just shouting out the name of a Pavement album is funny.
Because he's gone to a new country, he's on holiday in the Flower Kingdom.
Yes.
It feels like he's, you know, when someone goes to the UK for like 4 weeks and they come back and they're like, oh, I had a bloody lovely time over there.
Well,
he's picking up the local language.
Yeah.
He's joining in. He's saying Wowie Zowie. So maybe Wowie
Zowie is like a local phrase. Well, the thing
it's
I find
Flower
weirder
Kingdom
about
for
it.
Wahoo.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Well, the thing I find weirder about it is I'm pretty sure he only says Wowie Zowie when he turns into the elephant, which maybe. That's the thing I haven't been able to work out of. Like, is there some correlation between elephants and the phrase Wowie Zowie?
If I turned into an elephant, I'd definitely let out an exclamation.
Mm. Yeah.
And
I'd probably do like a big...
Oh, try out the trumpet first thing. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Or play a song on the trumpet.
Holy shit. Get a load of Cole Porter over here.
Yeah.
Is he a trumpet player? Did Cole Porter... He might have been a saxophonist.
He might have been a singer.
Or he may not have been anyone and I've gotten a name wrong. I think...
No, you're right, though. If you grabbed this fruit and then you turned into an animal, you wouldn't be like, wahoo! You'd be like, Jesus fucking Christ!
Quite frankly, and I don't think I... pose this question enough. What if Mario real life?
What if Mario real life?
What would it be like?
But you're right, as he transforms...
And he had a gun.
What if? What would he do?
He should be, when he picks up that fruit, what he really should be doing is screaming in agony as his nose like morphs into a giant trunk.
Yeah. Like, if, you know, werewolf in London, whatever. Yeah. That horrible transformation
if
process.
Every time you picked up the fruit, there was like a full 5-minute video that played Cronenberg style of just the most grotesque.
Bones cracking.
Every time there's someone turning into an... Like the Animorphs books, imagine if you could reprint them, because they'd have the thing, the flip thing in the corners of the pages, I believe,
where
slowly Marco would turn into a gorilla or whatever was happening that month.
And he goes, wowie zowie.
You stick one of those birthday card things where when you open it up, it starts singing and have human screams play right at the end.
On every page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always loved the cover of the Animorph books where they're like person and then animal and there's like a little illustration of like the kind of 6 steps in between. And it's always the middle one where it's like, that's the book I want to read, where they just get stuck looking like that.
Oh, well,
that's the more interesting story.
You could play Spider-Man 2 as well and have some of that. It's been a big morphing into animals week.
Yeah.
The big lizard is in
the big
Spider-Man
Liz.
2.
Yeah.
Lizzie McGuire.
We'll talk about those.
Any news to get to?
There's some small things.
Let's do the headlines before we get into the reviews.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, like one of them isn't news, but people are... Rockstar had the old trailer for GTA 5 they put on private, I think just because it had music in it that was licensed.
Oh, yeah, sure. They
got rid of it. Mm-hmm. But then someone found another video on their YouTube channel somehow that is a private video right now.
Mm.
And for whatever reason, people are convinced. There's been scuttlebutt about like they're going to show some GTA 6 shit soon.
Okay.
And they reckon this is that.
So it's literally they've seen the thing where you go, it's a grey video with private on it, and they've gone, I'm extrapolating from that GTA 6 trailer.
If anything...
Not another old video?
If my experience of running our YouTube channel has given me any information about YouTube, then that video is definitely just an upload where they forgot to put the outro slide on there.
Yeah,
totally.
Anytime it's like known that something is definitely coming out at some stage, the leaps that people make, it's like, hang on a minute, there's 80% humidity today. That must mean that Rockstar is about to drop a trailer.
Yeah. I think that must be... the Nintendo Switch 2 announced trailer on Rockstar's YouTube page.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Could it possibly be?
Because that's coming up. So
they put out 3,000 GTA Online videos over the last 10 years.
Right.
It has to be not that.
Well, I mean, there will be a trailer at some stage. One of these people has got to be right eventually.
We record this a day ahead too, so it might just be there right now.
That would be cool.
Because Microsoft have like a third-party developer conference presentation thing.
Partner partner presentation.
I think that's the full name.
Yeah, the partner presentation. Our third party. Yeah,
that would be great. Coming out on stage, guys. Welcome to our partner. Oh God. Oh no. Why are we doing this live?
After all the Activision stuff, Phil Spencer's not maybe the first person to put forward anymore. So please welcome Xbox's new representative, Porky Pig. We got games, folks.
And you stumbled over that intro too.
I know. I was already thinking about Porky Pig.
You Porky pilled yourself.
Yeah. I'm fully Porky pilled, dude. No pants
You're
for me.
Pig maxing.
So
if I was Rockstar, what I would not do, and what I would not trust anyone on the social media team to do, is upload a GTA 6 trailer earlier than it needs to be up.
Right.
I would upload it on the day that it's
not
going
even
up.
Unlisted. Yeah. Private.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are really good at swinging the axes down in the data mines these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it could be. And
the pickaxes?
With the Xbox thing, people think that, again, are getting hyped up about Silksong.
How do they not fucking learn?
Because they're going to be
Exactly. It's going to be revealed at some point.
Know what? Practice makes perfect.
I guess so, yeah.
If you yelled at me every time I dropped a juggling ball.
Silksong. I'm getting there.
I'm ready for a new GTA. I was thinking about this the other day.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a bit. I think we're like. There is a bit of like open world fatigue out there in general, but I kind of think if anyone can swing it back around, it's probably Rockstar, right?
Yeah. I mean, I saw some demo that wasn't a specifically Rockstar thing, but it was, I think, using the engine that they use. I forget the particulars, but it was a demo about water physics in particular and like snow physics and just like technical demonstration stuff. So just like a sort of random character running around some water and showing incredible looking flow and like whirlpools forming and everything moving really naturally. And water has been like, you know, one of the hardest things to program.
Yeah.
Pretty cool looking. I forget what it was called.
Okay.
And I can't tell you how to find it.
It's now private.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Red Dead 2 was a masterpiece. I'm ready for another Rockstar thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm most interested to see what their sense of humor in the GTA sense is like in 2020, I don't know, 4 or whenever it comes out.
Right.
You know, like that's the part of those games that sort of has dated the worst and the most rapidly. So I'd kind of, I wonder if they've sort of learnt to tone it down a little bit. Or it would be funny if they just seeing what their 2023 version of that is, if they just like really, really go for it.
Because
like, it's the funniest game we've ever made.
Their 2013 version, I feel like when GTA 5 came out, everyone was like, life hacker.
Right.
Yeah,
you didn't spend
yeah.
6 more seconds thinking about that. I don't know what the better option is. But I'm just critiquing you.
Yeah.
I don't have to provide an alternative.
Get ready for a Donald Trump analog.
Of course.
Right?
Well, and it's set in the all accounts and the massive leak that happened, so people know.
Oh, yes.
It's like Vice City, Florida sort of area.
Yes.
And Florida is like the most America.
Yep.
Stereotype cranked up place that people make fun of over there.
And you know
the Florida Keys. What's Trump's place down there? The fucking
isn't Mar-a-Lago down there?
Yeah.
So there'll be like Dick-a-Lago or whatever for them to
Dick-a-Longo.
Get out of here. Too much.
Yeah, that's too good.
People won't understand it.
You know, there's a guy in there pitching so hard to have like a pronoun-based, side. You know, there's probably like at least one guy that they're having to be like, man, you're so talented in every other capacity, but, you know, we would fire you otherwise. You just got to let this go. You got to give up this crusade, brother.
I beg you, all of you, just you as a stand-in for humanity at large. Yeah, well, and this is the one where, again, from the leaks, I think it's like dual protagonist.
Yes.
And one of them is their first female protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
So I reckon I hope that they're able to do cool stuff with that.
Yeah. Well, so who left and when did they leave? One of the houses left, right?
I think Sam Hauser, I think it is, was the last of the sort of GTA PS2 era kind of
the OG
head people.
The OG TAs.
The modern GTAs.
Yeah.
The people who were behind them. I don't think any of them are there now.
Because you also assume that it's like, oh, it's the same company, so it's the same people developing it. But yeah, between 10 years, like,
probably
a lot of people have moved on to other things anyway.
Off the top of my head, I don't know, but you'd have to imagine that a lot of the Red Dead 2 people are still there, and Red Dead 2 was, I agree, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see him shoot it out of park. Speaking of that, I saw an interesting thing about Mario.
Mm.
Mario Brothers 1, 5 people made it.
Yep.
4 of them worked on Wonder.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
How crazy is that?
That's insane. Kondo, one of those, I assume, right? He did the music.
I guess so. Yeah. Or maybe he was the one who wasn't. I don't know if he worked on this.
I think he oversaw the music. I don't think he composed it, but he's in one of those developer blog things that I talked about.
Right.
I talked about last week.
And you got Miyamoto in some capacity. Ducking his head in?
I rolled credits on it last night.
Okay.
And he comes up in there, supervisor. That's so vague. That could mean anything from... he's there cracking the whip every day to, like, he got one look at it at the very end and was like, yeah.
Right.
How about wowie zowie? All right, see ya.
I reckon they'd count that in the 4, though. So yeah, if you're definitely in the credits, yeah, yeah.
I went for a walk in the forest and I heard some pavement playing. Why don't we get wowie zowie in there?
I think Nintendo has, like, some of the highest employee retention of, like, any company.
Right.
That's very, like, Japanese sensibility, too, of, like, you start work at a company and you just... it's a badge of honor to stay there until the very end.
I'm sure that's not the case these days, though, as much as maybe it has been historically, just with the way the world is. There. Everyone's so jump between.
Yeah. But that's what I've always, what I love about Nintendo is like as a cultural, maker of things that have been around for such a long time, that it's still mostly the same dudes. Mm. They're still mostly pumping out stuff of the same quality. It's not like a Star Wars thing or these things that just kind of like move through phases, and even like Disney is like another big one from that era of like people of our age that's now just run in a completely different way by different people. Like they're still by and large just doing their damn thing the way they always have.
And look,
which is so rare.
Sometimes those people who were there in the old days have left for reasons that mean they should have left.
Mm.
Anyway, Blizzard put out a weird promo for Diablo 4.
Whoever did this has to stay there forever. I want them in the credits as supervisor in 20 years.
I want a picture of them in jail is what I want.
For 40 years.
There is a promo for Diablo 4 that is in some – like the bottom idea is like, hey, everyone go donate blood. And a blood drive, sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is in the US.
Very necessary.
Yeah.
People need blood. They're like, let's get 666 quarts donated for Diablo.
Right. Okay.
Like,
and you're against that.
This is not the bit yet.
Okay. But I want that on record.
The prize that you can enter even if you haven't donated blood and can win is a powerful PC.
Yep.
Lots of, all the latest whatever in there.
Yep.
And it will be infused in some way with human blood.
Whose blood?
Don't know. Don't know if they've said.
That's a key point.
Don't know if they know.
Yeah.
If
it's like someone famous, I'd be all for it.
That's the thing.
I don't want to know whose blood it is. I think I'd rather have the anonymity. I don't want it at all, though. I'm saying if I had to take it.
So you don't want Elton John's blood infused in your PC?
Yeah.
Maybe.
See, this is the thing. On the surface, I'm thinking I don't want a PC infused with human blood.
Yeah.
But that's only because I don't know whose blood. I could be complete. You could say a name where I'm like, I'm in.
If it was the Rocket
Miyamoto?
Man's blood.
The Rock. I thought you said the Rock.
No, the Rocket
also
Man.
Cool. A PC that's infused with the Rock's blood?
Yeah.
Well, who has the most famous blood?
Oh.
What would be like the top blood person in the world? Who's most? Because what's the movie with the blood? Like
Dracula?
The woman who gets covered in blood. Carrie.
Oh
yeah.
But that was like a pig's blood.
She's a fictional person.
That was pig's blood.
Mm.
Yeah.
That wasn't her own blood.
It's all yuck. I don't want to even think about it. And I wouldn't be able to use it.
So how do you So how do you win? If you
I think it's just a raffle.
So you donate blood, and if you send in proof that you've donated the blood, you go in the draw.
I think that's part of it. But probably also
if you buy something from Blizzard, you go in the draw.
I
was reading it in between waking up from fainting multiple times. fucking yuck.
Yeah.
What a gross idea.
Or like Ozzy Osbourne. Someone like, metal, right?
I guess.
Someone metal.
Yeah.
No one's blood.
Mario? Bram Stoker himself.
Oh, yeah, we've
still got it on fire.
Yeah.
Just in case. Yeah, I mean, it's such a... Because, just donating blood is a good thing to do. It's very, it helps a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you often get like a little KFC voucher at the end.
Sure.
That's enough reward for me.
Get a little gummy worm or something.
Mm. I'm only just recently allowed to donate blood here because I still am from the UK,
mm-hmm.
and mad cow disease.
Yeah, right.
Mm. And there's heaps of people for a bunch of stupid fucking reasons who can't donate blood. So I wouldn't have been, I don't know, man.
I don't believe I'm ever allowed to donate blood, unfortunately.
I think
all that bareback sex I had with Freddie Mercury.
I think I'm the only person who's been allowed to donate blood for their entire life.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And how often have you done it?
Congratulations on your new PC.
So what's the next topic?
It's just so creepy to have blood in your computer to me.
Yeah.
I had not seen this story until you brought it up. Has this been getting backlash?
I think it's gotten exactly what they want.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Is people
it's,
going like,
it's been memed.
This is so weird.
This is creepy.
We're feeding into it completely.
Yeah. The media release went out and all of the journalists were like, oh, great, something to fill the space.
Right. Yeah. If it was
people
like a
people are mad
famous...
at this competition. They're out for blood.
Has that been... If that's not been a headline, then everyone should be fired.
Yeah.
Put them all in jail too.
Yeah, if it was someone's famous person's blood that's no longer with us,
mm-hmm.
and then
someone who's dead?
And then if you get it, you could potentially Jurassic Park him,
bring
him back to life.
Oh yeah,
that's an incentive.
Dolly the sheep's blood.
No, yeah.
That I would get.
Finally, we get to bring Dolly the sheep back to life.
You're playing God here.
Yeah, if it was a dinosaur's blood, I'd definitely do it.
No, I'm playing Command & Conquer.
You're meant
on
to
my
be
new
playing
blood PC.
Against God.
Well, you can
firing
only play
up
Bloodborne.
Command & Conquer. So that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
But you got
it. Is it clear? Can you see the blood when you're sitting there?
I don't know in what capacity the blood is in there, but I assume it would either be in the paint on the case in the coolant.
I'm picturing a monitor that's clear at the back, like an old iMac.
Oh,
like a lava lamp.
And it's like a lava lamp.
I assume it's a speck of blood.
I'm picturing something that looks like you'd pick it up in that that kind of weird back corner of Granny Mae's.
Because there's probably I'm sure there's an industry around wedding rings and shit like this that you can infuse with blood.
Oh yeah.
So it's probably that in some way in some of the metal in it somewhere.
Yeah.
I'd have to assume. They've just said, the weird thing about it is they've emphasized that it's a liquid cooled PC.
Yeah,
and then they've said, and it's infused with human blood.
What liquid? Okay. What liquid?
It's not in the liquid coolant. I reckon they've just done that for the imagery.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
That would be a step too far.
Pay attention to the lizard, and you'll understand why you simply cannot cool things with blood. Oh. Blood is designed to be heated up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Pay attention to the lizard.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of paying attention to the lizard,
okay.
Do you want to talk us through a bit of Spider-Man 2?
We can do that. Mm. I paid attention to the Lizard was one of the many, the rogues gallery of villains you got in a game that I really enjoyed. The follow-up to the fucking so many Spider-Mans they've been able to put out. So Insomniac are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because they've had Spider-Man 1,
yep.
Miles Morales, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, and this in the space of 5 years.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
It's insane. It's crazy. And, the level of quality, it's they're all like good AAA games.
Yeah,
like,
and they're launching pretty polished, like not
there
buggy.
There are some bugs with Spider-Man 2. Not one there's of these ones. There's a spider in it. Like, there's a second spider in it. There's
Scorpion.
I think that's it. Yeah, there is a scorpion.
Yeah. Get over here.
But no, I've had like nothing massive, but other people have had more massive sort of
right.
things.
I've had a couple of things. And I thought because I bought it physically and just like, you know, copied it over and played it straight away. So I don't know if there was meant to be a patch.
They did
some,
say.
Like, texture things being very like not current gen.
Please do the patch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I saw on Twitter they had a big thing about the day one patch that was specifically going to fix a lot of stuff in the tutorial.
Yeah. Okay.
Seemed a weird part of the game to have.
Yeah. Unfinished.
Needing a day one patch.
Yeah.
It's a very over the top, like big budget. The part of what I enjoyed about this game is it is like a real big spectacle. You've got a few things in there that are like Uncharted kind of levels like set pieces that really worked for me. It's like a big momentum-y action game with a story that like is just constantly like setting up the next thing for you to go do immediately, which I enjoyed about it. I thought the writing was fine for it. Like I didn't have a big problem with it at any point.
I've only done the beginning so far, but just the intro tutorial thing I thought was great. Mm-hmm. Like, throws you in, is teaching you how to do stuff or reminding you how to do stuff if
right.
it's been a while since you've played the previous ones, while being this, like, pretty big set piece, like, the kind of fight that you would think would be, like almost an end boss, like, this
right.
gigantic, like, Godzilla-sized thing that you're fighting that looks really cool and is, like, yeah, not just a... Oh, okay. I'm just in a bank taking out some guys. Like
yeah.
It feels like a substantive, like you know, set piece kind of thing.
It's got some real like God of War type stuff in there.
Yes.
Like, huge, really impressive. The fast loading stuff in this is so fucking impressive.
Yeah.
Where like you weirdly don't unlock fast travel in an area until you've done a certain amount of like side stuff in there, which is a bit
that
strange.
Was odd. And I think. Yeah, there's a level of, like, open world bloat to it of, like, a lot of mechanics, a lot of things to upgrade, a lot of, like, that thing. But, yeah.
I ended up enjoying doing all of that stuff, but it does get a little repetitive, some of it.
Right.
Sometimes you are doing, like, there are, like, sort of five or six different types of thing to go do, and then there's one in every borrow.
Yeah. Even within the first, like, 15 minutes or something, you do a quest as Peter Parker where you... You have to get this little drone thing and fly it through some rings.
Who?
Peter Parker. He's just a kid. He's just this kid.
Yeah.
Is he Spider-Man?
He's just this kid.
Tommy meant to say Spider-Man, and he was thinking about a young boy instead.
Yeah.
Like, war.
As I often am.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do some Googling when I get home.
Don't!
But you do this little... you do a little quest thing where you have to... fly a little drone through some rings, and then you switch over to Miles Morales and you do basically this, you know.
Yeah, there
it's
is
the
right.
exact same. Yeah, fly the drone through the rings. It's
there
like,
are
I
some
just
that like you have to do as one or the other, but like you say, it's a dual protagonist thing, and that worked really well for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They play very similarly, Peter and Miles,
mm-hmm.
but Miles has some electric powers that I forget why he has them, but
he
just does.
He got struck by lightning, spider.
Yeah.
Radioactive PowerPoint.
Yeah.
And they play similarly, but they both animate differently. They look different. They all have so much like they've got interesting separate kind of stories, but then the mm-hmm. interplay between the two and the story about them and their like relationship throughout the game, I found really good. I liked it. It's like this story about
being a Spider-Man?
Yeah. A spider bites two separate men.
Because Peter's whole thing is like balancing like, I want to be a person, but also
right.
I'm the Spider-Man.
Yep.
I've got a girlfriend, but I don't spend enough time with her for her to move in with me.
That story about like responsibility and like burnout and that's...
Well, with
and,
great
like,
power.
Comes huge fun.
That's what I've always said.
Why irresponsible Uncle Ben died. He told me with great power comes heaps of pussy. Get out there, kid.
Tear it up.
Go sow your oats, brother. But it worked for me. And like Miles has an interesting like story about like resentment. And they,
yes.
You know, and they're both trying to be heroes. And if you know enough stuff about these Spider-Man characters who are in there and the villains and stuff and whatever too, you kind of know where this story's going from the beginning.
Yeah. It's very... Even the structure is very, like, superhero movie sequel. Like, opening with a giant set piece is like, that's how you would open the second Spider-Man movie.
We've seen him get bit. We know all that crap.
Yeah.
And it is definitely doing that stuff. But I felt similarly about the first Spider-Man, too. It's, like, some of the best rendition of that now extremely... overexplored genre.
Right.
Yeah.
It knows how to do it in a fun way and like go back and give you some proper character moments between like, so very early on, your pal Harry's back.
Yeah.
And your
Harry Osborn.
And he's like, son. Sharon, I was sick and now I'm okay. How'd that happen? And you're...
Yeah, he's walking with a cane. Yeah. Like Ozzy did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shit, dude. And he sings Crazy Train halfway through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sick.
And it all worked for me. Like, it's not anything fucking monumental or whatever. It's a superhero story.
I think in a game you can kind of forgive some of the, like, goofier story beats a bit more because it's like, well, this is a game. This has to be in there to give me a little thing to play. So if the story is kind of going in this direction or this kind of thing is coming up, it's for the purpose of having an enjoyable set piece in a video game.
Sure. And it's no Uncharted, I will say, but it's on par with like the live action Spider-Mans of recent years, I reckon.
I think I prefer it to those. Right. I think it like has...
Maybe better than that Jake Gyllenhaal one, but... You know, it's around the mark.
I saw someone on Patreon, the patreon.com/filthycasuals, it would have been specifically.
Oh, because that's pod.
They didn't bump this one up pod to the main page. Patreon.
But, right, because that's where if you're a patron of us at any level and we post for thoughts and reviews on games we're reviewing, you can add your own personal review.
News to me. But they were saying that this, they were having a reaction to
this. How'd you know about
this,
their comment?
That was similar to how we felt about God of War Ragnarok, where it just like wasn't doing it for them as a sequel and it seemed like a different tone weirdly. And I haven't had that reaction. This is the same tone for me that first one.
I think.
And so Miles Morales.
Yeah, I played probably like 3 or 4 hours and it is very hard to put down. Like you say, it's so propulsive. There's so much momentum, which I think it does well because I think some of the things about the first one and Miles Morales, which I never finished, the getting sort of like dropped back into the city and being like, there's a mugging over there, just kind of took me out of the momentum of the story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think it's done a lot better of a job at keeping me invested.
There's something happening for every next beat, every time you get dropped out of. And part of that is because you're swinging back and forth between Peter and Miles, which again, yeah, really worked for me.
Yes.
And they've got sort of separate upgrade paths that you can do for their attacks, and as you're getting more experience points and stuff, you're giving them different powers.
I've never found it in any of these Spider-Man games, the sort of upgrade path and the gadgets laid out in an intuitive way. Like it's all a bit like, and I think like the menus are bad, the font is, you know, like I don't love that element of the presentation. It feels a bit early 2000s and it feels a bit busy on screen.
I think it's trying to do, and I do kind of like this, you know, very, I love a good internal logic for very video gamey things that are happening. Mm. But the fact that you've got your little mate who's finding crimes for you and he's communicating with you via phone or via the app, it gives a good justification for why these little side quest things are popping up on the map, not just like, oh, I met a person and for some reason they know about something that's happening 18 kilometers away. Like, it, you know, swinging around and being like, hey, we just got a distress call over here. It's like, well, that makes sense. That's a thing that'd be happening. You've got your little guy who's scanning the police radar.
And most of the side stuff is tied into what is going on in the main story too. Mm. Like,
yeah.
Oh, these bad guys are here and they've set up bases. We got to go get them. Makes sense to me.
It is interesting that people have had that reaction in a God of War Ragnarok way, which for apparently everyone except for us and our patrons don't agree with.
Well, what I have seen is people maybe coming around to the futurists that we are.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah,
like that it's maybe worn off a little bit, because part of it is too that when you get so much spectacle, and this game does a good job of that, you're not thinking about it, but in a fun
right.
way. Like
yeah.
it's boom, 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 this is happening next. And
well, I think the main thing for God of War Ragnarok with me was I loved that that first one was just a very linear progression.
Yes.
And then in Ragnarok, when it started to like split it up and it was, you had that kind of hub area, it's, I just was like, that what the, yeah, it's not doing one of the things that I thought was so effective
right.
about number one, but this is, it's doing, it is the same thing, which is, you know, kind of what you want if you're coming back for a sequel. Like
yes.
it doesn't need to be, doesn't need to throw anything, it, you know, you've got your little wingsuit now, so you're mm-hmm. flying around a little bit, but other than that, and the, you know, the dual protagonist thing, it's just staying in its lane, which I kind of really like.
And the characterizations of the characters are consistent with the
yes.
previous games
yeah.
too, which is the thing that I liked, all the change in the open world-ish style of God of War and all of that stuff, but the tone of the story felt different.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In a way that I didn't like as much.
I think
this is the same.
This that's I'm maybe less impressed by this than you are, and it's because it feels exactly the same.
It's as much of a this is more sequel as is basically possible.
They've used the
yeah.
tech to make it look a bit better and bigger, and
mm-hmm.
and that fast loading time thing, which you probably wouldn't have been able to do on the PS4, is like
yeah.
the main thing where they're really stretching out and going, hey, this is a current gen only release. But
yeah,
I think that is a sticking point. I think that's why for
sticking point, yeah, web.
What'd you call me?
funny how.
For
I don't remember anyone saying funny.
For like
it's a bit of a sticking point.
Outlets and you know, some of our patrons and stuff that
yeah.
yeah, it is just doing it's
more of the same.
It's more of the same. Yeah, it's very deliberately a sequel.
Right.
I think that those first two Spider-Man games though were like, you know, Miles Morales was a fair bit shorter and
mm-hmm.
yep.
There hasn't been so much of it that I'm sick of it yet.
Mm.
No, totally. I think it's like, and I've, you know, there's been a million other Spider-Man games, but for this trilogy at this point, it's like, yeah, why would you change something that
yeah.
90% of people who played it loved it?
Because
and
it
this
is
a bit of a middle chapter too. Like it's not, it, so there's going to be more.
Yeah.
And
well, and again, it's like the people that were really into Ragnarok that we heard from
right.
were like, yeah, I can kind of see what you're saying about the story, but at the end of the day, this combat just feels fucking great. And it's the same. And again, it's like, it's
that,
an open
yeah.
world game. It's not really trying too hard to do too much more, but swinging around a big city feels awesome. The combat yeah. feels great. I forgot how satisfying it is to just be bashing someone up, do your little dodge and slide under their legs
yep.
and then start kicking them from behind.
And it gets, you know, it gets to a point by the end of it where it's really throwing it at you.
Yeah.
Mm.
In a way that I found really satisfying to get to sort of stretch my legs a bit with it, because I don't remember feeling that way with the other two, really.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
The traversal stuff is so fun.
Yeah.
Fucking flinging yourself around the city so fast. There's so much detail down below, like or so many pedestrians and cars and all of the little conversations they're having, if you do stop and listen to them,
mm-hmm.
On a really high level.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's where I give it a bit of a pass for not iterating too much, is that they're pretty locked in. They've got to use these characters. They've got to hit these beats. It's got to be in New York. It, you know, they're pretty limited in like what more they really could add here. Like it's not like they have, you know, Ratchet and Clank, they had a bit more of a blank slate to go,
mm-hmm.
hey, what can we do? How can we blow this up? But they're, you know, by virtue of you're doing a licensed thing, that does kind of lock you in a little bit.
And it's
like,
fair
I like
enough.
That they just went, he's going to fly.
And everyone's going to have a
that'll do.
Yeah,
everyone's going to have a different point where they hit a wall with like how much they're enjoying that. But I just haven't hit it yet because yeah, more of the same. Everyone will have a different size bucket that gets
overflowing
at some point.
I think my the reason that I don't love these games in this franchise is because I don't like Spider-Man really,
right?
And it is like it's full Spider-Man. The tone is very Spider-Man. It's all like, oh, shucks, I'm just a Quippy New York.
And it's comic
hey, can't we
Spider-Man.
Just talk about this?
Right.
Whoa, what are you, the fucking mayor?
Stuff like that.
So funny.
A lot of puns.
A lot of like...
how come you guys didn't invite me? You had a party without me?
Mary Jane being like, hey, I hope your first day seemed a bit busy. I guess tomorrow will be a bit more quiet. And Peter being like, yeah, a bit more quiet. Yeah.
The stuff of like J. Jonah Jameson having a podcast that like Spider-Man listens to.
He also sounds like Alex Jones now.
He does. And I like that both Spider-Mans call each other Spider-Man.
Yeah. Right.
Like the sort of camaraderie between them and where the story takes that stuff, I think works really well for, like a comic book story, but that I think is basically what I like out of a comic book story where it's like, yeah, dude.
They're Spider-Man.
This shit's fucking so crazy.
It's silly.
It's a video game and it's about superheroes. Like it,
It doesn't matter that there's 7 million followers of this bizarre cult.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to make sense. They're all the strongest soldiers in the world. Who are they? Fuck you. Yeah. They're from comic books.
I love that when he's like, it's time for me to go to the greatest hunting ground on earth. New York City.
It's very like, is it Predator 2 where Predator comes to like a big, I think it's like
Jurassic Park, The Lost World.
Yes.
That you've got a second part of New York to swing around in now too. So it's Manhattan from the first two and then
It's Queens, right?
Queens is a bit of it. And then like that whole Eastern, I don't know enough about New York geography, but like whatever part of New York is to the east of Manhattan, you've
Miranda.
Got like half of that island.
Statue of Liberty.
You can see her.
Yeah. She's French.
Well, by birth, but she's surely a naturalized American at this point.
Yeah, she's lived there her whole life.
It's you know exactly what you're getting if you play the other two, and if you enjoyed the other two, then you're getting more enjoyment out of this one.
I saw this getting sort of like very good but not great reviews.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand if you thought and rated and reviewed the first one of these as like, you know, fantastic, you know, generational AAA, one of the best games on this console. Surely this one has to be the same. Like,
well, yeah, not to just like talk about other reviews, but IGN people were a bit like, huh, they gave it an 8. And a big part of that was that it's got a lot of, in their eyes, a lot of open world bloat where the side missions are a bit... And it's kind of funny to me when that affects the score of a game because to me, like, side mission stuff is kind of optional. Like, it's there to...
If you're loving it, to
fill out a bit of extra time. It's like, I kind of think, like, judge it on the... Because, like...
I went and did all of that stuff, too, and I don't find it to be at the point where it's bloated.
Yeah, it's a bit, just like they were like, it's a bit uninspired, but it's like, yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can do with optional... you know, side stuff in an open world game.
Some of the side stuff is like really cool too. Like the more like, God, I want to find a word that's not bespoke.
Tailored? Custom?
Yeah. The more bespoke missions that you get.
Oh, like curated, like
just one-off kind of like not a part of like the, hey, there's six of these on the map.
But
this person wants help and they've got this... little story that they want to take you on. Some of those are really nice.
Yeah, cool.
I liked them.
And I remember hearing criticisms for, I think it was Ghost of Tsushima, not from us, from other people, that like, if you 100%ed it, then the side missions got repetitive, which it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah.
There's only so many different things that they're going to present you with.
I ate this meal four times and I feel fucking sick.
Yeah.
Right.
You 100% it if you're loving it and you haven't hit your threshold with it and you want more and more and more out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you were just to play the main story of this, it's such a satisfying and like takes you through all of the creative elements of this game well. Story.
I love this new era we're in of like AAA titles not feeling like they have to be 50, 60, 70 hours long.
Sure.
It's pretty lean for a game of this size in its main story, but not that I've finished it, but from what I hear, like that's like perfect.
I will say the faces are different from the original release of the first Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And it took me a minute to be like, oh, that's weird.
Mm. Yeah.
And I thought the face of the first Spider-Man, the first Peter Parker Spider-Man, was like really good in that PS4 version.
Yeah,
but they
yeah.
changed that from the remaster and it's been different for a
yeah,
while.
Yeah, I've never been able to keep up with what's going on there. Why did that happen?
I don't know. But it's all like the acting and stuff is good. Everything mm-hmm. just works in the way that a game of this level, you know, like big AAA and all of that, but very blockbuster cheeseburger.
Yep.
Here's Spider-Man. Ain't he Spider-Man? There's two of them. We got two Spider-Men mm-hmm. and they're both spidering it up.
I'm not as big on the like level. Maybe this is the day one patch. I played over a couple of sessions, but I'm not as in love with like the facial animation, the quality of some of the cutscenes, and like I feel like, and maybe it's because like you say, they've put out like four fantastic games in 5 years.
Mm.
It doesn't feel next gen in the way that like a God of War Ragnarok, like the quality, the detail of like the actual main characters.
I kind of agree with that. It does feel like they're putting all their eggs into the basket of the environmental design and like wanting the sunsets to look beautiful as you're swinging around there.
Right. That's the thing for me, is like the reflections in the windows of the skyscrapers as you're swinging past and stuff is fucking awesome.
I do agree though, the cutscenes and the character design. Posing. It does. That's the bit to me that doesn't quite feel like it's up to that step yet. But I imagine that is like a resource that you have to pump so much into to get it looking to that level. And they're just like, well, let's focus on you're swinging around the city. That's the bit you want to
I think
look
that's the
really
thing.
Nice.
The fact that it's such a big scale game
at
the core of it, then you can zoom right into those faces and they look good.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the thing for me where it's like, it totally doesn't come across to me as a sacrifice.
It's
that they
and
made,
I think for
sense.
Me, like we got so spoiled a few years ago with Last of Us 2, and that being such a new gold standard for facial animations and just how much that helped the story and the, you know, the emotion of the game, that nothing's quite got to that level yet for me. But also, that's such a lofty standard to meet that it's probably going to be a while before we get something that's that impressive again, I think, in terms of just facial stuff.
Yeah, I think overall this looks fucking amazing to me. Like the there's like a 40 frames per second ray tracing mode if you have a 120 hertz TV thing, or a monitor at your desk with your coffee.
Oh, while you're doing work,
your Rolodex.
Yep.
Your secretary coming in.
Your large calculator. Mm. I've not been in an office in a long time, but the
dead plant
that mode looks great.
Yeah,
right.
It's smooth and fluid, and the reflection stuff looks crazy to me. The lighting and the scale and speed of it too is like really impressive. The how quickly you zip around that city and it still looks like there's a lot going on, and it's not popping
very alive.
I'm playing it on quality mode, and I just don't think the cutscenes are like what I expected from the latest game to come out of a AAA level.
I thought they looked fine, but fair enough. Hey, takes all spiders.
It does. This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you once again by our friends over at Manscaped.
You know the deal. 20% off and free shipping is the deal.
Yeah.
And also the deal is, use a code Filthy, the deal is that Manscaped make good hairscaping products.
That's
always
right.
Always give out the deal before you mention what the product is.
You want to hook them in?
Yep.
You go, it goes like this. Call to action.
Yep.
Be doing the call to action.
Yep.
A, always be doing the call to action.
Yeah.
CBA. Zero.
Ooh.
Zero chance that you won't like the products from Manscaped if you have a look at what's right for you there. They got the Lawnmower 4.0.
Yeah.
That's your everyday meat and potatoes. Make sure my pubes are trim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk about meat and potatoes.
That's what you're cutting. Cutting. That's what you're going near and trimming, trimming the hair
trimming
off.
Around.
You don't
off,
want
yeah.
fucking hair on your potato.
No.
Tidying up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you know how sometimes if you have a potato for too long, they start to sprout?
You've got to deal with that.
Cut off those sprouts.
You've got yourself the beard hedger is one of the newer ones.
Hey, and I used it this morning. Hedged my beard.
Let me tell you, you weren't hedging your bets about how good your beard was going to look with the beard hedger from Manscaped.
You know, ever noticed Manscaped kind of sounds like landscaped?
Oh, man, they're going to be embarrassed when they figure that out.
Yeah, yeah.
They've really made their first mistake they've ever made.
What if they got sued?
By landscaping.
By landscaping. A landscaper. Just Jim's landscaping.
Oh,
then
Jim's manscaping.
I'm sure they'd be able to level it all out.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
A bunch of good stuff that they do there. I reckon you should go have a look for yourself. Go over to Manscaped. When you're checking out with your cart there, make sure you use the code FILTHY, and you won't be surprised by this. It gives you 20% off and free shipping.
That's a callback to the start of the ad.
Christmas is coming. And maybe you will be too with how good of a deal you're going to get by using the code FILTHY at Manscaped for 20% off free shipping.
Do it.
Yeah, come
please.
On.
What's a good segue?
I think that is such a good
one. I wonder what a good segue would be.
Yeah. Well, you can crawl around on the wall like a little spider in the next game we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
In some bits of it.
Yeah.
You can do. I also 100%ed Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Yeah.
Which is not that long of a game.
Yep.
Right, right. Yeah, I played it for one full day, basically, one work day, and I think I've almost finished it.
And it's one of those ones where, like, yeah, there's like six worlds or seven, I suppose, technically.
Seven, I think, yeah.
And it's got a race through the minimum number of levels and you can get to the credits, and then that's about halfway through the game, because go back and get all these coins and then there's a few extra levels that you don't need to
it does
done.
A thing once you've done the credits where it's like, now we'll show you, like, here's X number of levels that you haven't found in this world,
because
there's
right.
like hidden exits and stuff like that. So because I was trying to do like most like you'll get, you know, you have your little seeds that you're trying to get, that certain areas are locked off until you get this number.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still just going and doing all the levels that I could see before I would move through that section. I was like, I'm not just going to open the thing as soon as I get to like 12 or whatever. I'm just going to like knock all of them off. Because I agree, it's like my only like quote unquote complaint would be, I just wish there was more of it. And that's because it's so fun, and it's also, when you sit down and lock in, it's so Moorish. It just is so easy to just burn through this so quickly, because it's so rapid and it's so fun and it's so enjoyable that it's all of a sudden you're like, shit, I've done three worlds in one sitting.
And it's probably about the right length, because the freshness of most of the ideas in most levels that you're going to, there's something new and different about all of that. I mean, they're all fundamentally the same thing. It's a 2D Mario game. You're running from left to right, mostly, and you're jumping over shit that's going to hurt you.
Yep.
But especially with the Wonder Seeds, which are the thing that I didn't understand necessarily before it came out, like how much I'd enjoy them.
Mm.
It basically, when you get to one of them, or the Wonder Flower will transform the level into doing just a fun thing.
It'll
give you some, you'll turn into a different thing and have to move in a different way, or the level will change in some way, or there'll be some silly, strange, fun idea that will happen quite quickly, you'll be done with, and it'll move on to the next thing in a really satisfying and, like you say, Moorish way. I really enjoy playing this.
Yeah, and I think like the level of design in it, where in the last kind of few 2D Mario games, it's been each world might have its own theme, that they kind of had reached this point where they weren't even reaching that far with their ideas in those overall world themes. But then every level within that world would just kind of look basically the same. It's like, this is the ice world. These eight levels just all look like you're in the ice world. But in this, even within the different theme levels, the levels are all quite different and distinct to one another.
A lot of them have
another.
Some different gimmick to
it. So you go into the level and it's interesting to see, oh, I wonder what's the little thing that's going on here? And then you get the second level of that, of like, there were ones where I would get to the end having not found the Wonder Flower. And I would immediately just go like, well, I got to go back in and do it again. Like, I want to find the flower and see what the weird thing is that's going to happen.
And all of that stuff I found really, like, well laid out and designed, where everything was, like, a good level of, like, sort of hidden, but there are enough clues everywhere that you can figure out pretty happily.
Yeah, a little boulder will be rolling down and it's, you know, it's glowing. It's got kind of like stuff coming
one
out of it.
One pipe will clearly go a bit weird or whatever. And some of the stuff that they've done new in this one, that those new Super Mario Brothers games didn't tend to do as much, is strange ideas that I haven't seen in a Mario game before, where suddenly, like, oh, you can push this thing that you've never been able to move or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, they talk about how they were... So this is the same team that has made all those 2D ones, the new Super Mario Brothers games. And they talk about how they were a bit tapped out. So they roped in some of the 3D Mario people to be like... Because they were feeling like... Well, why are these games the ones where the weird inventive stuff is happening? So they kind of got these guys in and they approached it like they were making a... If we were making a 3D game, we would go for it a bit more with this and we would try and experiment around with this. Yeah. So why aren't we doing that with
the
2D ones?
It has a lot of the feeling of the 3D world games, the Land of World in particular. And then also, like, the 2D Mario, like... skeleton is still the main thing. It is a 2D Mario game, but then has a lot of what I would assume to be ideas that they've gotten from seeing what people made in Super Mario Maker.
Big time.
There's
a
lot of sections that are like, oh yeah, that is a fun idea.
Yeah,
well, inspired.
We should
by...
have this level be fucking shit.
There is one that is. I felt was directly inspired by all those ones where you basically just get on a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
Right. There's a,
which there's a bit, there's obviously more platforming because a lot of the Mario Maker ones were like literally like, just watch this.
Yeah.
But there was at least one
Rube
where
Goldberg
I was like, they've taken that idea and they've made more of a platforming challenge out of it.
Exactly. It's like they've got the freedom to completely change the mechanics of the game if they want to have like something cool happened that wouldn't be possible in a Mario Maker.
There's a sick one, and I don't, not to spoil like all the fun things.
I'm avoiding talking about anything specific.
There's one thing where, and I think it's a flower effect, a wonder flower effect, where the level has the top level of is water, and the bottom half of the level is air.
Yeah.
But the physics are the same. So you run along the ground and then jump and then you're up in water. Like, it's just that's really smart.
And
it's
does them quickly and then it doesn't repeat itself to the point where you're like, okay, Mario.
And some of these effects could just be a whole game. Like this has been in the trailers, the Wonder Flower, where you're all of a sudden, it's like an isometric view and you're running along the wall. Mm-hmm. It's kind of top down. You could do a whole game out of that where it's like you're, changing the perspectives and that's the whole mechanic for the entire game. But it really does feel like they've not only been inspired by the kinds of levels that people were making in Mario Maker, but also just the very existence of those games where people were saying a lot like, well, they probably don't ever need to make a 2D Mario game now because they've got this service where people are pumping out their own levels and you've just basically got this infinite Mario game. So why bother ever making a new one? And their response to that is like, okay, well then, in that case, we can't just have some nicely designed levels. We've got to do stuff where we fuck around with gravity and do all this like, bombastic stuff that just isn't possible to do in that. You know, if that exists, then our next thing has to be so beyond the realm of what you can do in that game.
Exactly, because if it's like the best designer making a Mario Maker level who then also has access to be able to make a bespoke element for the level.
That's your favorite word.
it been spoke a few times this week. It really works, and it's fresh and lively the whole way through.
It certainly is lively.
So one element of this game that I believe to be objectively true is that it is incredibly charming and the visuals are fun.
Objectively true. And I hate all of the little flower guys being like, hey, there's something that, like, it's really giving me God of War Ragnarok, the head being like,
oh yeah,
why don't you go over there and solve that puzzle this way? Like, it's very hand-holdy, this game.
I thought I would hate him. I thought he would be a bit like, I just assume it's like the
you,
one flower.
You run
like,
past talking flowers.
Yeah.
I thought that would annoy me from the trailers. I thought it'd be a bit like, you know, Marvel humor. But there's something about it where I kind of, like, I don't want Mario to be walking around going like, this is a bit scary, isn't it? And so you have these little flowers in the levels that are sort of doing that stuff for you that are a bit like, you know, they might, sometimes they give you a clue, but they might also just comment on like, what's going on in here?
Right.
And I kind of like that it makes it feel, it makes it feel alive and it makes it, I mean, not that this game has like a story, but it does have Mario's got his little Prince Florian who's going around with him, and each little world that you're going in has kind of like something that's going on in there that's like, oh, my friends are all hidden down this mine. And it just, again, from the last four new Super Mario games that are just like, Bowser's over there, just even 3D World is just like, oh, there's just go, just do these and go over there. Mm. It's not got like a, you know, not like a progression in the sense of like a story. But it just kind of has stuff going on that just all makes it feel a bit more like you're just on this quest and like this, you know, Mario's out like doing this thing, not just like, oh, I'm playing a game that's just like a list of levels, you know?
I didn't necessarily like the Prince Florian stuff and the dialogue bits for whatever reason. I did want to move on.
Right.
But the little flower guys, who you can turn off, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely going to.
they knew that you were out there.
Yeah. And I like this. He's when you do that, when you select it, he goes, no, is it something I said? He gets it.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't just one thing. It was all of them.
There's been literally only one flower that I found annoying because he's like in a corner and he's yelling, hey, to like get you to go up there.
Yeah, I think I found the giving tips annoying.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's already, and this is probably my other only issue with the game, is that it's really easy. And like, I know like there's hard things that you can go and do, but like the base level of most 2D platformers these days, let alone, you know, old Mario ones, is like, it's a lot harder than this.
I kind of agree. I did find myself, breezing through it and being like, I had hoped this would be slightly more challenging. But I also think like, seeing a lot of people on our Patreon be like, yeah, I'm playing this with my 7-year-old. It's like their first Mario game and they're loving it. I think they just have made a conscious decision that they want this to be more of an entry point. And they've said, they've been asked a lot in interviews, like, so the visual style's pretty out there. Was this like inspired by the movie coming out and the success of the movie? And they're like, no, we've been working on this for years. But they also, at the same time, they would have known that the movie's coming out around this time and that's going to be a whole new audience and a younger audience. So I think they just have – I agree there was a point where the Mario games were among the more challenging platformers that Nintendo made, and at a certain point they've kind of – there's like – I think that it goes from bottom to top, like Kirby, Yoshi, Mario, and then Donkey Kong is where you get your real punishing, like, you know, multiple attempts to clear one level. So I think those
would be my, like, that would be my ranking of who's bottom to top as well. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, was it something I said?
the about 75%.
Walking past that flower that goes, who would you turn gay for? I'm like, all right.
Come on, Rove. It's the mid-2000s. About 75% of the game, I think, I agree, it's like noticeably easy.
Yeah, right.
And then the bits where it goes, okay, here's some fucking Mario for you, is great.
I forget where I'm exactly up to. And you can approach in sort of your own decision of the worlds, but they also are gated by like increasing numbers of flower wonder seeds. So, but I think,
within each one, you've got a bit of freedom to like, there's usually like three levels you could do or whatever, and you only have to do one.
And then after, there's a point where you've done the first world, the second world, the third world, and then it goes like, okay, now you can go to
four, five, or six. Yeah.
And I think I've done maybe like I'm on six maybe.
Once you pass like the main thing, there's like some special exits and whatever to get you to a special zone.
Yeah.
And there's some like they've got different star levels of challenges, and the 5-star ones are going to make you play the game. What the last thing in the game took me like actual hours to do.
Yeah, right. It's interesting. I've found some like 4-star ones to be quite difficult, some 5-star ones to be incredibly easy. Like, it doesn't always correlate.
It'll change depending on, like, the badge that you have, too. You have these little badges that you can equip to have some very pretty minor different abilities.
Yeah, I never used... I kind of felt like there a lot of them... I didn't ever have one on for the game, but I do like the little challenge levels where you either unlock them, but then there's like multiple ones for each badge. Yeah. I was kind of a bit like, why do these need to be in there? But then for the excuse of the challenge levels, I'm like, oh, these are really fun.
Right.
Where it's just like, hey, you've got to use your wall grab thing in this one. So here's like a fucked little obstacle course.
That's the thing is that, and then most of the game can't be designed around them because it has to assume that you could have any of the badges equipped.
Yep.
I think a lot of them feel like they're either to, make it a little easier for you in some bits if you're having trouble like reaching that one last coin that you need or whatever. Or there's like one that turns you invisible, which is just clearly
really?
For like if you want to do this game in the hardest way possible.
Yeah, right.
You're right, Adam. It's like the main bit of the story is like not designed to really tax you too much.
So imagine if there was a portion of a level that made you use that badge and then the fucking flag is there. And you have to get the flag at the end of the fucking level. And you've got to get the top of the flag to get all of your check marks.
Yep.
But you can't see where you are.
You can't fucking tell at all.
I was playing the whole game with my eyes closed anyway, so But yeah, I think you're right. It's like they've had in the back of the mind, there will be potentially a new generation of very young people playing this. Chuck in some handicaps.
Yeah.
And they've got those, there's all of the Yoshis.
Opposite of handicaps.
Fuck these kids.
All of the Yoshis and Nabbit the other character.
Is Nabbit from another thing?
I think he's from The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds.
Oh, that's weird.
I know he was in...
Maybe.
The
there was like
Super
a little
Mario
rabbit
Brothers
guy in that.
Oh, okay. I didn't play that one.
Yeah, the Wii U one.
Right.
Had a... like levels where he would pop up and you're chasing... You're just basically trying to chase him down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was him in that Zelda game or not.
It might have been one of those things where he's in one thing and then they like...
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I think he was in some fucking like in the Wii U shop or something,
yeah,
or
right.
3DS shop, being like, oh, "I've taken all your money," or whatever. I don't remember.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's a it. Yeah, I think yeah they have just tried to because that's the thing. I'm happy for it to not be super challenging because it's just fun. It's like fun, interesting.
I think
unique stuff is happening all the time, whereas the last handful of new Super Mario games have been probably of the same difficulty, but you're just doing the same sort of level 8 times in a, you know, like it doesn't have that feeling of like
of creativity.
Oh, anything could be happening around the corner.
And that's what it is. It's like, because even though it is easy, it means you're whipping through those easier levels, seeing these creative ideas, and instead of going like, oh, that was a fun challenge, going like, ha, that was cute. Is the reaction I had to a lot of it. I think visually it looks great.
I think I am as well.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a bit more forgettable though because of that. There is a level of like, you know, of like I'm loving Lies of P and it's punishing and it's creative and it's innovative and but I am like I am so satisfied by overcoming the challenges. Whereas this it's fun and charming in most parts, and creative, but it's like I said, I almost played the whole thing in one day and it's probably not going to stick with me in the way that something else might.
I think as usual for you, you'd love the back end. Yeah.
I feel like in all the reviews before it was out, people saying this feels like the follow on from Super Mario World and Mario Brothers 3. And I kind of agree in the sense that, I played all the new Super Mario Brothers ones, you know, had a fine time with them, but found them very forgettable, never had the desire to go back. And this one, even now, I'm like, this will be one that I kind of return to every couple of years, start a new save and just, you know, run through it again.
I didn't find it to be similar to the... it feels like its own kind of new thing to me. Where
well,
like,
they mean like the leap of creativity of like where they...
And the creativity
you would have thought
stuff,
they would go on from there.
It's there with like the Galaxy games and the 3D world. And I really like that about those
and
ones.
Bowser's Fury was a complete, you know...
Yeah. It wouldn't be like a top three or five of them for me even, but I have really enjoyed it. And yeah, visually I think it looks so good. It's so clean and bright. And the little details
it's like a
they're putting
candy
on
box.
Stuff.
This
it's
is so
cool.
They sunk. I was reading that they put a lot more money into the animation in the budget than they normally do for these games. Which, yeah, I think like this is how these games like they're Disney. Like they should be. They have such good character design.
Well, and this
they
is
have
just,
such
it's
good.
Been like this in the 3D ones.
For years.
I feel like, and this is. Caught the 2D ones up with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's so... Yeah, it's such a... It's got such like a nice feel to it. It's so colourful. Like it just all pops off the screen. And again, it still does a lot of you like, this is the snow world. This is the lava world.
Right.
But it's just still a bit more interesting visually. You can see there's like some weird little touches. It's not just like... This is the snow. It's like, it's like the sky's pink. Like just little things that just
when you're
make
running
it a bit
really quick, there's some little like dash lines that it just quickly does on you and stuff like that. That like, I think, adds to the overall character of it.
This is just like a game that I just did not think that they would. I just did not think they would make a 2D Mario like this again. I really thought they treated them as they'll sell well. They're pretty disposable. We'll put one out in the same style every few years, and the 3D ones is where we get creative. So to see them just like announce this randomly in the middle of the year, not too long of a wait time, and also it's funny to me that like in this year where the Switch is increasingly getting a hard time for how old the hardware is and how it struggles to run third party stuff and even some first party stuff, that it's like, well, how do you combat that? Well, we'll just put out a version of one of the biggest franchises of all time that
Nintendo's best stuff is when they throw the meat and potatoes away.
Right.
And like it still has that core stuff of what makes Mario good. Like he feels good to move around and it's a 2D Mario. Like it's not that crazy. But the same with like Breath of the Wild or this is a very different thing to that, but where they just go, wait, what are we fucking doing here? Let's start again.
Well, yeah, you read all this stuff about how the team didn't have any deadline. They just were told to start working on it, do what you want, take as long as you want. But then also, funnily enough, it's kind of ended up just, I'm sure if they were like thinking about it financially a bit more, they would have given them a deadline of maybe last year before. But also it's like, it's kind of perfect timing. Like it comes out a few months after the movie and it's like such a great swan song for the Switch.
Totally. And it's pretty essential as well.
Yeah.
It's like, it is great for potentially the last thing you buy for this console.
To get a game like this of this stature as well in year six of a console is pretty crazy. It's
smart to chuck the sort of family accessible stuff in there too that like obviously is not for us specifically, but I can't abide by it now that I'm saying it out loud. It should be for me specifically.
I don't have kids, but yes, the little invincible characters.
People playing with their seven-year-old as Yoshi.
The badges,
All of that said, I don't want them to do this again. I don't want a Wonder 2. I want them to take what they did come up with Wonder and do that again.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
You know what
I mean?
Like, because that's the cool thing about this. And I'm sure there's more ideas and levels and whatever that they could do a Wonder 2 out of. Don't.
Well, I wonder because, the big rumor is Switch 2 September next year that's launching with an open world 3D Mario, like an extension of Bowser's Fury, which is crazy to think that we would get this and that in the space of 1 year.
That was happening with the new Super Mario Brothers games though, kind of, and just no one fucking really cared.
But this also, if that's the case, that then gives them the time to not give themselves a hard deadline for whatever they do next with 2D Mario, which is what's been such an asset to this.
Should we get some patron opinions?
Yeah.
Yeah, do we have ones about Spider-Man and Mario?
We certainly do. I'll go back to Spider-Man because that was first. Declan says...
That makes no sense.
Spider-Man 2, so unbelievably Moorish. Missions are so incredibly high-octane, traversal is so smooth and fluid. The story and dialogue is incredibly engaging. When I'm not playing, I'm just looking forward to getting that controller back into my hands.
Oh. Not playing the game, just holding the controller.
Feeling that vibration on my palms.
It's funny how much Spider-Man, like, just so... Because Sony owns him movie-wise, but, like,
yeah.
How much Spider-Man ties in with PlayStation history. Like, the fucking PS3 font
being
the Spider-Man font. The controller looking a bit Spider-Man-y. And it's, like, white version of the suit that he get.
Basically all... positive for Spider-Man, except for, this from Lewis, who says, Spider-Man 2 giving me huge God of War Ragnarok vibes. A slight iteration on a great game, but lacking that immediate punch that made the predecessor such an all-timer for me. Still having a great time, though. And I think that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
It's a good... I forgot to say this before, too. Don't jump into this if you haven't played the other ones.
Yeah,
even though it is a continuation and is sort of the same thing, they really are a set and a continuing story that I think you would be doing yourself a disservice by. Don't necessarily do 100% of all of them and get tired of it, but like the stories of the other two are a part of this game.
Yeah.
Fully.
What else? Yeah. Oh, something from Aaron about Spider-Man 2. Feels like he's fighting with the controls a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little... I have had that a little bit. Mostly when you're like actually engaging with like the ground, you know, or like jumping off a building or climbing over a bit. Like,
there's quite a lot going on where it's like you've got to hold L1 and push this button to do your like Spider-Man powers.
Yeah.
Hold R1 and push a button to do your gadgets.
Yeah.
Yes.
The both triggers will do a leap up to the top of a building, but the right trigger will swing. Mm-hmm. If you hold the left trigger and cross, it'll launch you. And like, it takes a while, but it introduces all of that stuff. And that's something I was going to say as well about the tech tree stuff is that I kind of agree that it's like sort of not like that interesting of a part of it.
Yeah,
but it does stop you from being overwhelmed too quickly because it leads to you slowly being introduced to these abilities as you go through.
Right, right. What else have we got here? Scott says, Super Mario Wonder is well... ... Wonderful.
Good.
It's vibrant and colourful.
A pile of crap.
It has the Nintendo polish when it comes to the details and is very imaginative. And more importantly, and I guess I agree with this, it feels great to run and jump around. Yeah. That's always the most crucial thing, right?
It's like, always so embarrassing when we read out the patron comments and they say exactly what we said, but so much
more
succinctly.
In one sentence. I love the new little bit of animation for him where when you... jump on an enemy, and when you're up in the air as high as you can go, he does his little like spring in his chest out.
Yeah.
I love his little like super jump that he does.
The Goombas and everything, like when you get close, like looking fucking mad at you or like being scared if you're jumping at them.
Yeah.
All that stuff looks nice.
Interesting thing from Chris here about Spider-Man. I loved Peter's story, including Harry and MJ. I think this is the better part of the game, in my opinion. In the first act as Miles, I was so sick of playing him and just wanted to get back to Peter when... Even though I probably enjoyed combat as Miles more, it was his written dialogue and this almost anime protagonist in an English dub sort of feel where he's almost too perfect of a person to begin with.
Miles is like a straight up good kid.
Yeah.
And like he is like infallible, but the story is about like, will he be tempted with some fallible stuff? But a lot of his side stuff is really cool.
Right,
I like Miles' side stuff where he's just like sort of exploring.
Actually, there is a bit, and this is not really a spoiler. There's a bit where he's obviously grieving over someone. Mm-hmm. That we can say.
His dad gets killed in the first game.
Yeah. So he's grieving over his dad. He feels very conflicted about it. He's got a lot of anger from it, as you mentioned before, Nox. So that's clearly this issue that he's dealing with. And there's a point where his mum is like, hey, I'm dating someone. Do you mind if I bring them over? And he's just like, of course not. I would love that. Anything for you, Mum, where it's a bit like, there could have been a moment of like conflict there that would have interested me. And instead he is like the perfect person.
Maybe he's pushing himself to be too perfect.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that will be an element of the game as it goes. But
there's some stuff here, some more stuff about Mario. Aaron different Aaron from before says, this is the first game my 5-year-old son and I have ever played together. He plays as Yoshi, whose invulnerability makes the game fun instead of tedious. We are yelling with delight as the game continues to deliver surprises to new and veteran gamers alike. Easy recommendation for any parents or people with friends who are shit at video games. So, yeah, again, Nox summed up that
yeah,
incredibly succinctly. And
yelling in delight. Well, I like the sound of that.
Woo! This podcast would be 45 seconds long if we ever do it.
And yes, most of the rest of the stuff kind of echoes what's been already said. So thank you for everyone who has decided to become a patron of us and has left a comment. We read them all, or I certainly read them all, if not on air. And we very much appreciate you supporting us.
Absolutely. And I think that they do somewhere like both of these are big crowd pleasing games.
Yep.
Yeah.
That are pretty fun.
That you know if you're going to enjoy.
Yeah.
I took a few photos of like people around New York just floating in midair. And
yeah.
Nice. A couple of little bits like that.
Well, I think that's going to do us for another week.
Wait a minute.
Oh.
There's one game that Tommy and I have been absolutely loving.
Oh, yeah. I was going to save that for next week.
Oh, really?
Because I don't know.
It's like, it's very popular at the moment.
Yeah, so
it's having its moment. Yeah. That is, we're on the tail end of now.
Watermelon game is out now.
Suica game?
Suica.
Japanese for watermelon.
Well, when I downloaded it, it's updated like twice since I got it.
Okay.
And both times the title of it and the like little image tile has changed back and forth from the Japanese to the English.
Oh, right. Because
it's been out on the Japanese eShop since 2021.
Yes.
Got a bit of popularity on Twitch, and it's only just gone up on the English language eShop,
mm-hmm.
which when I first downloaded it, it was still all in Japanese, and they've only just patched it last night to be in English. But it's $4.50 on the eShop. There's also a free browser version that you can play.
That's the only version I've played it.
Right. Yeah. I would recommend dropping the $4.50 to have it on the Switch because it's controlling it with a controller is a bit better and it looks a little nicer and it's got music and everything. But it's a match game where you are getting little bits of fruit.
Yes.
And if you match two of them, they turn into a slightly bigger fruit. And I think there's like maybe what, 8 or 10 evolutions?
Maybe even like 12 or something.
Because it tops out at a watermelon.
Cherry, strawberry, grape. The little thing with the curl in his hair. I don't know what fruit that is.
Cherry, strawberry.
There's
grape.
Like a pear at some point.
Yeah, that
like
might be
an orange.
Pear.
There's a mango.
Pear,
I
orange,
think shows up.
Apple, lemon, lychee.
Right,
right.
And then lychee to pineapple.
Right.
Pineapple to melon. Melon to watermelon.
Right.
And it's like 2048 or that sort of thing where 2 + 2 makes 4, 4 and 4 is 8, 8 and 8 is 16.
Yep.
Or like the last game that Yuji Naka developed before being jailed for securities fraud or whatever it was.
Yep.
Which was, this sort of game has existed for a while. Like this is just one that's popped off for whatever reason of like physics-based balls being thrown into an arena and those balls will match and get bigger and then also create problems for you by unpredictably physics-based.
The space they take up or you can, you can sort of wait out a bit and be like, that's sort of slowly tilting and I think it's going to end up knocking that one
below. One on to bop something along. It is Tetris. It's a bejeweled match game and it's that.
But it's not locked onto a grid.
It's there in a physics bucket.
Yeah.
And you won't just be getting the base cherry. You'll be getting some of the earlier ones to drop in, which will have different weights. So maybe you want to drop them and knock this one over that way, like bowls or whatever.
I think you only ever get up to like the orange. So you get like the first 4 or 5.
Right.
Like you never get like the big ones. Yeah. But yeah.
Right.
So I've got
randomized and you don't know what's... You know what the very next one that you're dropping is, but you don't know what's coming after that.
That's the other thing on the Switch one. You know what you're dropping and you know what's next.
Whoa!
Oh, that's a huge change. So the two changes $4.50 I want.
Justified right there.
I want that and the ability to, like modern Tetris, put one in to the side for a while and then bring it out. You know, you've got that square.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll get one that just randomly fucks you and I don't think that that's fun.
Right. I am just playing it on the browser on my phone. So I'm going in blind with each turn. And I really like it. It's hard. It's definitely harder. But I'm enjoying that challenge. I'm not being like frustrated by it, like thinking it's a flaw. I'm thinking like, oh, this is tough.
Because when you're getting closer to getting that watermelon,
it just makes me like not that invested in it because I'm like, well, if it's random at some point, then I don't care.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But there is also, you know, you get that little strategy of like trying to group everything over to one side, or like, you know, or maybe if I drop this little one down here, it's going to like dislodge that and push it over. Mm-hmm. Which I've done a thing a couple of times where I'm like, oh, okay, I can see this one that's coming next is going to be really helpful, but the one I have to put down first. So what I'll try and do is I'll try and put that on top of this bit so it rolls down and then very quickly drop the... It's never worked out, but in theory, it would be a great strategy.
But yes, like the first time I played it is like, oh, still like I think the second best I've ever gone at it, which was like pure...
Classic.
Just like, okay, whatever, I'll take whatever is thrown at me. And then probably the best time is having that approach of like, okay, so if I've got an orange here and then I've got a grape there, then look, if I get another grape, then I'll have two oranges, boom, I've got a big whatever. Either I'm waiting for the next big one or I'm like, oh, if I get the next one's a smaller version of that, then I'll put it there as well because then I can build up to matching with, you know, you
and yeah,
strategize in
a lot
that
of times
kind of way.
You have like two of the bigger ones that you need, but they're just on opposite ends and you're like, oh, I could have planned this out a little bit better.
So is this the first one of this type of game? Like obviously like 2048 and stuff are similar, but like of the dropping things into a bucket, physics matching together, blooping together that you guys have played, would you say? Because I think I'm having the Flappy Bird thing where I don't care about this because I've played Helicopter.
Which
was Flappy Bird. Do you know what I mean? So this one has popped off for whatever reason.
I'm not sure. It's not entire. Like I think... It being the like vertical bucket thing of it, maybe is the first.
I'm just always going to get sucked into a match puzzle game.
Right.
Whatever, whatever it is.
Yeah. Like I still play Bejeweled. Like I do still like just like that kind of game. Yeah.
Because another big, another thing about it that is kind of heightening my enjoyment of it, and this is a bombshell, but as of last night, this game in my household has finally dethroned Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh! Wow.
Yeah.
It's the reigning champ for nearly a year.
Yeah.
Me and the miso up until 1 a.m. playing the watermelon game.
Wow.
Because I just was like, hey, get a load of this. And thinking that she might just go, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But then she was like, because I was just playing it the first time and I was like, yeah, so you go and she's like, you have to get a watermelon for me. I have to see the watermelon. And didn't do it first. And I'm like, do you want to...
Have you gotten a watermelon?
Yes.
I've gotten a watermelon, yeah.
I haven't gotten a watermelon, but I also have not played that much.
I want to know what happens if you get two watermelons.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, it's maybe not possible with the screen real estate.
That's true.
To then
the bucket's
fill up
only
enough.
So big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she is absolutely hooked on this fucking game.
It's been a viral sensation.
Yeah.
Like it is, and you know, it is the perfect casual game. There's nothing you need to know about it or any skills physically.
Totally. It's one of those games that you can imagine seeing, you know, when you see like this cat figured out how to play a game on an iPad.
Yes, yeah. Totally.
It's that.
I genuinely was joking about that last night, getting one of those like accessibility controllers.
Yes.
For Cupid.
For my dog. To Charles like St. Lauren. Do you think we could teach Cupid how to play this game?
Oh.
He knows that a cherry's smaller than a grape. I think he could figure
I
it
guess
out.
So. Dogs can't eat half those fruits though.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
Grapes make dogs
true.
Sick.
Yeah, it might make him scared. Yeah. But maybe it's like a nice fantasy for him.
There needs to be a dog.
I'm never going to go to the Mushroom Kingdom. Doesn't maybe. Stop me from liking Mario games.
Grapes and chocolate.
I guess I'd play a game about mixing poisons.
Sure. But if there was like a version with like doggy treats, steaks, stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, I'd also play that game.
Yeah, you add two schmackos together.
Yeah.
Turns into a can of chum.
Oh.
Yeah, nice. Two chums makes a something valuable in the house.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. My homework.
Yeah.
Watermelon game. You can look it up. There's a free browser version.
Yep.
The Switch version's $4.50 and it, you know, tracks your high scores. Does like global leaderboards and stuff too.
Yeah, nice.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
That's going to do us for this week. Guys, head to patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
Yes.
If you want to get involved in the discussions that we have about all the big games that are coming out.
That's right. Or watch this on video.
And watch this on video. You get a bonus show every week that we do.
Yep.
Every Friday we put out our reviews of movies and TV shows and stuff that we're watching. We're
going big to be talking Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah. We're talking Marty. Tomorrow.
Big Marty style.
We're going to be talking as much as the woman behind me in my screening of it was.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple, anyway.
Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to everything that we've got going on.
Yeah.
I've got some dates in November coming up. I'm doing Perth, Hobart, Sydney and Melbourne. If you go to tommydassolo.com, you can find the tickets for that. Check out our YouTube channel for the video component of the show and also all the previous videos and stuff that we've done are on there. Let's plays and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Check it all out. Guys, thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
You know how in the UK they call David Bowie David Bowie? Mm-hmm. This is my impression of Mario in the UK seeing David Bowie. Holy fuck, it's David Bowie. I'm Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would I say Bowie?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.